You know what that's like, don't you? It's craziness. Here we go. Let's try it. In God we trust. Help me, buddy. Where you back? Where you at? Back it up. What you doing? I'm fast, but I'm half deaf today. In God we trust. This saying, say this with me, this saying was made the official motto of the United States of America by public law 851 in 1956. In God we trust is the law of the land. Did you hear me? Yes or no? And I did get an email from you, John, and I went back and listened to Obama's live speech. He did say that the United States of America is no longer a Christian nation. Then he says, not just a Christian nation. He said that statement, and then he said, not just. So he did admit that, I guess that we are still a Christian nation, but he went on to say, we're a Muslim nation, 1%, Jewish nation, 1.8%, and then a lot of other names, which is like 0.0000 whatever. And I think it would have been appropriate to say, give us the numbers, like we're 75.2% Christian nation. Amen. Say, that's overwhelming. Wouldn't you say amen? Praise the Lord. So I did go back and listen to that. He wasn't saying that we're not a Christian nation anymore, but he did say, like we were. Something like that, like we want, whatever we once were. Something like that. And I still don't like it. I'm sorry. Excuse me, okay? I don't know. But the point is that this is our official motto. Oh, and by the way, when that law was passed in 1956 or whatever, we were 95% Christian nation when you polled. So what do you think that meant? Say, God the Father, right? Jesus the Son, right? Sure, absolutely, the Holy Spirit. That's what that meant. In God we trust. You need to know that as a country. It's important. Now, in their own personal and public writings, George Washington and John Adams. Am I screaming at you? Okay, because I can't hear myself. You're used to it? Good. In their own personal and public writings, George Washington, first president, John Adams, second president, spoke freely of God in their writings. They spoke of his providence. That means his hand. His leading in the establishment of this great nation. When you read their writings, it's undeniable. But here's the question. What about president number three? We know Washington. You might not know this, but get the message. You can find it out. It's pretty easy. John Adams, for sure. And then, what about president number three? Well, they couldn't go after one and two. They've tried on their beliefs. They couldn't, so they had to make up other mess. But they've really gone after president number three. That was he a believer? Did he really believe in God? He's the one who said separates the church and state. So they've really hook, line, and sinker made this guy, the guy who wrote the Declaration of Independence, somebody that doesn't really believe in God and Christianity. Well, let's just find out. Let's see what we can find today. Here he is. That's the man. How you doing, buddy? Thomas Jefferson. Say that with me. Thomas Jefferson. Come on. You're going to learn something today. Whether you want to or not. You want to, though, don't you? Because I could jump on you. I'm just saying. You'll be jumping back, wouldn't you? Here we go. Thomas Jefferson. I've titled the message, In His Own Words. In His Own Words. Let's see what we can find today. Come on. Thomas Jefferson, 1743 to 1826, had a great long life. His father died when he was 14 years old. He attended William and Mary College. He began studying law at the age of 19. Young lawyer boy. He inherited his father's large land estate at the age of 21. He married Martha Wells Skelton in 1772. So he didn't get married straight away. He was a little bit older, knew what he was doing. Amen. He was elected to the Continental Congress in 1775. He drafted it. He wrote the Declaration of Independence in 1776. He drafted the Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom in 1776. Quite the American, huh? Say, quite the founder. Man, if there's one guy that, gotta watch my words, I'll call it the devil, wants to go after, it's this guy. If we can pull out the underpinning of Thomas Jefferson, we can really put a hurting on America and our Christian founding. He was governor of Virginia from 1779 to 1781. He served as a minister to France. Man! From 1784 to 1789. Thomas Jefferson, don't let this bore you. We're going to get somewhere in a minute. He served, this is it, just say this with me, as the what? First Secretary of State under George Washington. Who's the current Secretary of State? His name is, last name is what? Pompeo, correct? Is that correct? So Thomas Jefferson was the first. Pompeo is the one right now over there with North Korea trying to get that whole Korean Peninsula over there denuclearized. That's a pretty important job, ain't it? Wow. First one served under Washington. He served as vice president. Man, this guy had some stuff, didn't he? Amen. Under John Adams. Boy, and they liked each other, but at the same time, they were rivals. These two guys, Adams and Jefferson, Adams and Jefferson, Adams and Jefferson, served as his VP. And he served as U.S. president from 1801 to 1809, 8 years. And boy, this guy has quite the track record, doesn't he? Yes or no? Amen. Come on, let's do this. Let's thank the Lord for Thomas Jefferson that he lived. Come on. Come on. That's right. Because I believe he's in heaven. I believe he's seated in the heavenlies, the Bible says. That word is a great cloud of witnesses. And they're cheering us on today. My mama's one of them. Amen. You have loved ones that love the Lord, that believe in Jesus. And people disagree with me sometimes on this. I believe they're looking, and I believe they're cheering us on. Just like in a big arena. That's the idea of that passage in Hebrews. And I've had people say, that's not right. People can't, if they see that, they're going to be sad. They see all the evil in this world. You mean we're going to go to heaven and see all the evil? My answer is this. They don't have the same eyes you and I have. You don't think Jesus can look on us? Say. And the Bible says we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Amen. So I believe Jefferson, he's like, get him, Gary. Here we go. He founded, for you people that think that you can't do nothing, I'm old, what can I do? Well, he founded the University of Virginia at the age of 76. So how about go start something big? Amen. Come on. 76 years old. This is very, very, very interesting. Say, I don't want you to ever forget this. Say this with me right there. He died July 4th, 1826. Say it with me. On the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. You tell me that that's not like a sovereign thing. You know who also died that day? Somebody take it. Shout it out. His name was? John Adams. Part of the Declaration of Independence, the founding of this country. He read it, I believe, for president. It got ugly. Jefferson ended up serving under him. And they died on the same day. Isn't that crazy? 50 years later. Not 40. I find that very unusual. If you don't read history, you won't find this stuff out. So what a life this man had. What a life he had. Now we're talking about this stuff because it's the 4th of July week. We love America. One of the greatest things we have in the Constitution is the freedom to worship. Amen. So it's very important that we talk about our country. Because if it wasn't for our country, we might not have the freedom to worship that we have today. It's incredible. So let's talk about it. Thomas Jefferson has been labeled anti-God. Is that correct? Mr. Law Student, son, is that true? He's been labeled anti-God. Man, that's quite a label. Amen. If somebody said, Pastor Gary Clark is anti-God, I would just simply tell them this. Go look at my messages. Go read my sermons. Pull up my radio broadcast. Prove it. So that's what I did with Jefferson. He didn't have a radio show, but anyway. But he wrote a whole lot of stuff. So he's been labeled anti-God by many. He's been labeled as a deist. Say deist. Don't say it much, but anyway, there you go, deist. What does that mean? What does deist mean? It can mean a lot of things. Believes that there's a God, but that he has no control. Say no control. No control over creation. Deist. Okay. So he's anti-God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, anti-God. And he's a deist. No control over creation. Not sovereign, not providential. Amen. So let's look. Okay. If you say so, I guess I'm supposed to believe it, but I ain't. What's the truth about Thomas Jefferson? Did Thomas Jefferson trust in God? Did he? What's the facts? In his own words. Not Gary's words. What's the truth? Was God an influence in his life? No, couldn't have been. He's anti-God. He's a deist. No, couldn't be. Let's go. We got to go. Come on. No. Did he acknowledge God in his life? No, come on. We got to go. Don't listen to Clark. Hang on if you're watching online. Hang on. Here we go. Was he a deist? What they say. Here's the answer. Can you say it 1, 2, 3 really loud? 1, 2, 3. That's pitiful. One more time. 1, 2, 3. That's better. Here we go. No! He was never affiliated with any deist movement. What was he then? He was without a doubt, say it with me, a what? What does that mean? He wasn't Catholic. Amen? We understand that much, right? He's a Protestant, not a deist. Here's the facts. He was raised what? Episcopalian. And bless their hearts, the Episcopalians have really moved a long way from the Bible and being conservative in their theology. But back in the day, they were rock solid as could be. Amen. That's the way he grew up. He grew up as an Episcopalian. When he was in Philadelphia, he attended what church? But I don't believe in Christ. Well, you're sure going to the wrong church. When in Williamsburg, he attended Bruton Parish Episcopalian Church, as did who? Can you imagine going to church in Washington? Say, you walk in, hi, I'm Thomas Jefferson. Boom, over there, there's George Washington. The heroes we make out of people today. Isn't that crazy? Yes or no? Sports stars. We want their political opinions. I could care less what they say. Shoot the ball, fool. Amen. Say. Heroes. But here's two of the founders of our great nation in a church on a Sunday morning. I'm learning. Watch this one. We learned this last week from researching the young lawyer's paper. Jefferson regularly attended church. Where? In the U.S. what? You mean there was church at the Capitol? If there's one thing Trump, I wish he'd do, he'd sign something saying, we're going to have church at the Capitol starting next Sunday. Somebody ought to write him because he probably would do that. You never know. Wouldn't that be funny? Yes or no? Amen. But I hope they get somebody from outside of Washington to preach. Amen. But that's where he went to church while he was president. Now watch this. This really struck me. You that have libraries. In his private library, he had a, say it with me, a what? 4-volume set of the Bible. And it was what? Either he got it from his granddaddy, or it was his and he read it. You know what a well-worn Bible looks like? Say. You don't get a well-worn Bible by sitting on the coffee table. You have to read it. Also, this 4-volume set on the Bible had what kind of place in his library? It was a prominent spot in his library. For example, in my office, on my desk is a black Bible, bang, to my left. Holds what kind of spot? A prominent spot on my desk. I don't worship the Bible. It's just handy for me to grab. Amen. Because I read it. Here's another prominent book in my office, second drawer. Open that desk drawer. Webster's Dictionary. Why? Because I'm from the country and I need help with words sometimes. And I learn. So those two things hold a prominent spot in my library. You understand? This held a prominent spot in his library. But I don't believe the Bible, they would say. Well, that's odd, isn't it? Say. Did he trust in God? Well, let's listen to what he wrote in notes to the state of Virginia. You want to know a man? Find out what he wrote. Amen. That's why when people write me, I don't get many. If you want to be in the minority, go ahead. But I hardly ever get any nasty notes. Ugly, disagreeable notes. Or if I have one, here's what I never do. I never write back. I never write back somebody that's written me a nasty note. That's some advice I would give you. How many ever wrote back and wished you didn't? Let me see your hand. Don't lie. You hear me? If you're one of those kind of people that need to write, well, sit at your computer, write it, and then hit delete. If it's good therapy for you, amen. But I just don't. When you write things, it's going to come back to either help you or to haunt you. Amen. So, listen to what he wrote. He was in government. He was a writer. He was prolific. So he had to write a lot of stuff. Let's see. Come on, push me, buddy. Here's what he wrote. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we've removed, say it with me, their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are what? The gift of who? But I thought he wasn't doing anything. I'm a deist. He don't have nothing to do with any of this mess. That they are not to be violated, but with God's wrath. Indeed. Say this part with me. I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that his justice cannot sleep, what? Forever. As governor of Virginia, Jefferson declared, here he is, governor, a day of public and solemn thanksgiving and prayer to who? If you believe God is just some force out there that's really not in control, boy, almighty is a strange word. Almighty God. On March 4th, as president, he offered a what? National Day of Prayer for what? And boy, did our country ever need peace. Come through war, civil war, all kinds of unrest, all kinds of problems around the world. Here's what he wrote. Almighty God, who has given us this good land. What? I'm a deist. I don't believe you can do that. For our heritage, we beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of your what? Favor. I didn't think you had no control with us. And glad to do your what? Will. Well, that sounds like God has a will and like he wants you to do this and he's in control. Bless our land. Look at this one. Look at this one. Bless our land with what? Honorable ministry. If there's one thing Jefferson hated, it was crookedness in religion. Hated it. And so, therefore, people think that he was anti-God because he didn't like the crooks. Guess who else doesn't like the crooks? He also didn't like the political control. He didn't like the power of the priest over the people. Did you know who else didn't like that? Jesus. Read the book of Revelation, the Nicolaitans. In the book of Revelation, words you don't hear much. It means lording over the people. Check it out sometime. Bless our land with honorable ministry, sound learning. What kind of manners? Save us from violence, discord, confusion, from pride and arrogance, and from every what? Sounds like a pretty good prayer to me. How about you? Defend our liberties and fashion into one united people, the multitude brought hither out of many kindreds and tongues. Endow with thy what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Endow with thy spirit of wisdom those to whom in thy name entrust in the authority of government, that there may be justice, peace at home, and that through obedience to whose law? The Ten Commandments? Yeah. Your law, your ways. We may show forth thy what? Thy what? Is this how unbelieving people write? Yes or no? I was an unbeliever. When I was an unbeliever, I talked and stuff. It was like, not that. Amen. Yes or no? Among the nations on the earth. In time of prosperity, fill our hearts with thankfulness. In the day of trouble, suffer not our trust in you to fail. Wow. All of which, wait a minute. Let's watch the end of the prayer. All of which we ask, say it with me, through who? I don't know. He sounds a lot more spiritual than a lot of preachers I hear. Y'all hear me, yes or no? As President Jefferson signed bills which appropriated financial support. Watch this. Financial support for who? Chaplains in Congress. And in the armed services, he signed bills that we want chaplains out there in the Army, the Navy, the Marines, whatever was existing at that time. Amen. As part of the Articles of War, April 10, 1806, Jefferson writes as part of the Articles of War, I earnestly recommend to all officers and soldiers to diligently attend divine services. But I don't think I should go. Because I don't believe. That's as dumb as a box of rocks. Keep looking. What do you think about freedom of religion? Freedom of religion. The big deal's been made about this. The constitutional freedom of religion, his writings, is the most inalienable and sacred of all human rights. Say that with me. Don't forget this, church. One more time. The constitutional freedom of religion, say it with me, is the most inalienable and sacred of all human rights. Amen. Well, I better sit down. Feeling funky. I get excited on these messages. Amen. Here we go. Among the most, a liberty deemed in other countries incompatible with God. A lot of countries. With good government, rather. But yet proved by our experience to be the best support of what? So, worship and freedom of worship is a great support for our country, he says. And our early struggles for liberty religious freedom could not fail to become a primary object. Don't forget that statement. When they were putting together this country and the Constitution, one of their primary focuses was freedom to worship. That's why I say on a Sunday morning, and I'm agreeing with Jefferson, one of the greatest things you can do as an American is freely get your tail out of bed and go to a church on a Sunday morning and worship Jesus. You hear me? The founders thought it that important. That's crazy. Now the church is a bunch of crazy people, right? Yes or no? I've ever thought religion a concern. Watch this. Purely between our God and our consciences, for which we were accountable to Him. Say that last, and not to the what? He was not a big fan of you going to the priest and confessing your sins. You understand? Jefferson was not a big fan for kissing somebody's ring or somebody's foot. You hear me? Yes or no? Thomas Jefferson. Just because he didn't believe that didn't mean he's not a believer. You see this stuff where he wasn't a believer comes from? Well, guess who else don't believe in kissing somebody's ring or kissing somebody's foot? Me. Amen. I don't want you to treat me no different than you treat everybody else in this church. You hear me? Treat everybody in here with love and respect. Amen. Say, I'm not above you. He's the preacher. You kidding me? Many of you are better than I am. He's the one we're serving. Yes or no? Amen. Jefferson had a big problem with that. What did he mean by the word separation of church and state? He wrote them. He wrote those words. Jefferson, the only person that wrote them. What did he mean? He wrote this letter to the Danbury Baptist. I have a whole message on this. We're not going to get into it today. But in essence, he was supporting the Baptist. He was supporting their freedom. And he did not want federal government usurping authority over them. Y'all understand? He believed that much. And when they put the Constitution together, they believed so much that churches should be free from federal government rule and authority. Okay? But we're going to look at it a little bit. He undoubtedly meant that the First Amendment prohibited the federal Congress. Federal. Can you say federal? From enacting any law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, just like the Constitution states. Okay, that's what he believed. As a chief executive of the federal government, the president's duty was to carry out the directives of what? Congress. If Congress had no authority in matters of religion, then neither did the who. See that? That's what he believed. Religion was clearly, watch this, within the jurisdiction of the what? And the what? And the states. The states. So what does that mean? Well, I went to a friend of ours, Matt Staver, Liberty Counsel. That's what he does for a living. Goes before the Supreme Court, argues religious liberty and freedom cases. He says the First Amendment says more about federalism than it does religious freedom. In other words, the purpose of the First Amendment was to declare that the federal government had absolutely no jurisdiction in the matters of religion. It could neither establish a religion nor prohibit the free exercise of religion. The First Amendment clearly erected a barrier between the federal government and religion on a what level? Look what Staver says. If a state chose to have no religion, which it seems like some of our states are headed that way. Y'all hear me, yes or no? It's crazy. If a state chose to have no religion or to have an established religion, the federal government had no what? One way or the other. That was what Jefferson was all about. We have no business interfering or being an authority over the church. He was not saying the church and the people of the church cannot influence the federal government. You understand? Yes or no? This is what Thomas Jefferson meant by the wall of separation. In context, the word state really referred to what? So when you say wall of separation between church and the state, the word state does not mean Florida, North Carolina. It means the federal government. Say federal government. I know I'm probably boring you to tears. The First Amendment did not apply to individual states. It was only applicable as a restraint against the what? I don't know about you, man. I like as many restraints on the federal government as we can put. Y'all hear me, yes or no? And so did he. And by the way, he was there at the founding. So, I got to quit, Raj. I'm wearing out. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Jesus said, this is the first and great commandment. Jesus said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I want to finish the message this morning. Help me. With his thoughts on Jesus. Can't we find out a man if he's a Christian? If he wrote stuff about Jesus, yes or no? Amen? On March 23rd, 1801, Thomas Jefferson wrote from Washington, D.C. to Moses Robinson. The Christian religion, when divested of the rags in which the clergy have enveloped it, and brought to the original purity and simplicity of its benevolent institutor, that'd be Jesus Christ, is a religion of all others most friendly to liberty, science, and the freest expansion of the human mind. He wrote to Dr. Benjamin Rush, who was also a signer of the Declaration. My views, Jefferson writing, are the result of a life of inquiry, and reflection, and very different from the anti-Christian system imputed to me by those who know nothing of my opinions. They were doing it when he was living. But they weren't doing it to prove he wasn't a Christian. For some liberal bias. They were doing it because they were so devoutly Christian. He wasn't. They didn't think he was devout enough. Did you hear me? Yes or no? He says, to the corruptions of Christianity. Say this with me. I think we should all say it. To the corruptions of Christianity, I am indeed, but not to the genuine precepts of Jesus himself. Are you opposed to the robbery that goes on in the name of church? Yes or no? The charlatanry? The promise of miracles? Yes or no? Amen. So was he. He says, I am a Christian in the only sense in which he wished anyone to be. Sincerely attached, his is the word Jesus, Jesus doctrines in preference to all others. How much clear English can a man write? I am a Christian. Sincerely, honestly. I want to be attached to his writings and not a bunch of screwiness that's going on and things I don't believe in. I like this guy. He wrote a letter to Henry Fry. I consider the doctrines of Jesus as delivered by Jesus to contain the outlines of the sublimest system of morality that's ever been taught. I hold in the most profound detestation and execration the corruptions of it which have been what? Invented. Did you know the Bible never teaches that you're to confess your sins to a priest? Say the scripture if you know it. There's one mediator between God and man. Say it with me. The man who? Christ Jesus. Guys, I'm not here to bash different religions and things or different opinions. But buddy, when you make up something that ain't right, we ought to detest that. You hear me, yes or no? When you can forbid communion to somebody who's been divorced. Here's a wife whose husband cheated on her. A husband whose wife cheated on her. But I'm sorry, you're divorced. Unless we annul your marriage, you That's in essence the kind of thing Jefferson, I think, was saying. I detest this rule-making crap. Y'all listen to me or not, say. That's my language. He probably didn't use that crap word, but anyway. The life and morals of Jesus. Can somebody tell me whose name is on the cover of that book? He's the only guy I know of our founders that wrote a book exclusively on the words of Jesus. So was Thomas Jefferson a believer in Jesus? Unless in that book he's trying to disprove Jesus. Oh, no. No, 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 no. He's promoting. He's promoting the words of Jesus. It's all a lie. Matter of fact, I wish they'd do this. This is another thing I wish President Trump would do. This would be a good one. The 57th Congress, in an effort to restrain what? The 57th Congress voted this in 1904. That there be printed and bound by photolithographic process with an introduction of not to exceed by 25 pages, little intro, and I'll be prepared by Cyrus Adler, librarian of the Smithsonian Institute, for use of Congress. We want this morals of Jesus to be printed and given to every congressman. Whoa! 9,000 copies. That's a lot of copies. We want everybody in Congress. We want everybody in the Senate. We want everybody that works for the Senate. We want everybody that works for the House to have the books on the book on the morals and teachings of Jesus. You think that might be a good idea for Congress today? If you believe it, praise the Lord. Come on. Young lawyer man. This would be a good job for you. See if you can't get to Congress to do that. Come on, your petition. Won't you read it? Read that book on Jefferson and come back and get to me. Get with me later. You can give a special message on it, okay? There we go. Keep going, buddy. I'm wore out. 2 years before his death, he wrote to James Madison about his writing of the Declaration of Independence. I know that I turned to neither book nor pamphlet when I wrote the Declaration. I didn't turn to neither book nor pamphlet. I did not consider it as part of my charge to invent new ideas altogether and offer new sentiments which had never been expressed before. So he didn't go to pamphlets or books. He just wrote the Declaration of Independence. Look at this. I pray before God. This is Jefferson. That these principles, the Declaration of Independence, may be eternal. And I close the prayer with my wishes for yourself of a long life, health, and happiness. It sounds like he's saying, God help me. Yes or no? Amen. It's amazing our country still stands, isn't it? Civil War, all the things we've been through. Thank God for that Declaration of Independence. He died on July 4th, 1826, exactly 50 years to the date of writing and the signage of the Declaration of Independence. That's a remarkable thing to me. His last words were these. You can tell a lot about a man on his deathbed. He said, I resign myself. Say it with me. To what? My God, my child, and my... That's a pretty good way to live life. God, family, country. Say that with me. God, family, country. One more time. God, family. How about that? Almost done. He's one of the very few that wrote his own epitaph for his tombstone. You want to see what Jefferson believed? Look at his tombstone. He wrote it. Here was buried Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of American Independence, of the Statute of Virginia for Religious Freedom. Put that on his tombstone. and the father, and the father of the University of what? Virginia. Amen. That's what's on his tombstone. When you go to Washington, how many have seen the Jefferson Memorial? Okay, good. The Jefferson Memorial stands on the south banks of the Washington, D.C. basin, has been inscribed, and say it with me, Jefferson's own words. That's the title of my message. We're done. Jefferson, in his own words. Here's what he put. He wrote it. They put it there. But now if you believe in God, if you believe in creation, you're an idiot. That's what they tell you. Y'all know that, yes or no? Do you not watch news? You're supposed to believe you came from slime billions of years ago. You're an accident. You don't matter. We don't teach our kids in school that they have worth, value, that they matter. They were created by Almighty God. What he believed, here's what he wrote. Here's what's on his memorial. Almighty God hath what? Who do I believe? These jokers or Jefferson? I'll believe Jefferson over these jokers. Amen? He created the mind free. All attempts to influence it by temporal punishments or burdens are a departure from the holy author of our religion. That's in the memorial. I like the message. Here's what John Adams said. At once an adversary of Jefferson. Can we say it with John Adams? Because they're up there today looking down on us going, that was good. Say those words with me. Thank God Jefferson lived. One more time. Thank God Jefferson lived. Let's praise the Lord for his word this morning. Amen. Come on. Boom. Woo! I liked it.